It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Glad to have you with us. May 2nd is the date. Thursday is the day of the week. Glad to have you with us. Walker Wildman here sitting in for Sandy Rios. Sandy Rios in the Morning is the show. American Family Radio is the network. So glad to be here with you. So glad to be sitting in for Sandy. And of course, everybody loves Sandy. So Sandy will be back. Don't worry. She'll be back sometime next week. But until then, you got myself, and then if I'm not mistaken, Adam, we have J. Christian Adams is also going to be
he's sitting in. He's hosting 2 days.
Yes.
Sorry, I put Adam. Adam's in the green room, and I put him on the spot.
We actually have a pre-tape tomorrow with Sandy, so you will actually get to hear Sandy's voice tomorrow, and then J. Christian Adams will be on Monday. You will be hosting on Tuesday.
Yes.
A pre-tape on Wednesday. J. Christian Adams on Thursday, and then another pre-tape. So then she will be back the 13th.
Excellent. All right. Appreciate that, Adam. I did this last week on a different show, and I put one of our producers, Pat Montague, on the spot. I asked her a question. She didn't even have her mic on, so I'm bad about that, putting people on the spot. Nonetheless, as Adam said, tomorrow will be a pre-record with Sandy. Monday will be J. Christian Adams, which you've heard as a guest on Sandy's show. And then Tuesday, I'll be back with you. And then, of course, Sandy will be back on the 13th, as Adam mentioned there. So a lot of news, a lot of content to talk about. One thing I want to mention is that today is the National Day of Prayer. Today is the National Day of Prayer. So what that means for you is hopefully that churches and groups are gathering at your local city hall to pray, gathering at your local city hall to pray for our country. Just visiting the website nationaldayofprayer.org. But usually, how this works is anywhere from noon local time to 1 o'clock local time, which is called the lunch hour. Local people will go to your city hall and pray for our country. So the best thing I can tell you to do is to go to the website, nationaldayofprayer.org, and search. They have all the locations there. There's an event finder tab where you can type in the city where you live, find a nearby prayer gathering. So nationaldayofprayer.org, Rob.
Yeah, something I saw on the local news here in Mississippi, one of the cities north of us, Corinth, Mississippi, they have been reading through the Bible on the courthouse lawn for all week.
Wow.
They've had the Bible set up, and they started in Genesis, and they're reading all the way through the Bible, and they're inviting residents to come up and read.
Okay.
And people downtown walking around, there was one lady on. She says, I saw them and heard them reading the Bible, and I wanted to read. Mm. And she said, so I came up here and read 2 chapters.
Amen.
And
that's great.
It's just, I thought that was just awesome. They got a little tent set up out there, and They're microphones, and they're just reading the Bible and continually all week leading up to this National Day of Prayer.
Yeah, that's powerful right there. NationalDayOfPrayer.org, National Day of Prayer is today, so go to that website and search for an event near you and gather with local believers. And if you can't, you know, if you for some reason you don't have an event near you within driving distance, then just get with some of your coworkers, call some of your neighbors or something, and just get together. Pray for our country, pray for your community. I want to talk mostly today, really probably the entire show, about William Barr, the Attorney General, his testimony yesterday. William Barr, the Attorney General of the United States, testified before the U.S. Senate yesterday for several hours, from about 10 o'clock East Coast time till about 3 or 4 o'clock East Coast time, so most of the day. And this was a fascinating hearing. And the one thing, I'm starting to like William Barr. The reason is because he's so honest. He tells it like it is. He tells the truth. And he actually cares about the law, which is refreshing. He's not into all the emotional and political games. Whatever the law says, that's what William Barr says, and nothing more. And I find that refreshing. Before I jump into his testimony and play a lot of clips from that, I want to talk about this news story today about how William Barr will not be going to the U.S. House of Representatives to testify. So we have two chambers in Washington, D.C. We have the House and the Senate. The Senate has 100 members. The House has 435. Yesterday, William Barr went to the Senate, testified in front of a committee. Today, he will not be going to the House of Representatives to testify. Here's why. The Democrats are playing political games with this process, and here's why. The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I'm sorry, the House Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler, Congressman Jerry Nadler, I believe he's out of either New York or New Jersey, New York, Democrat out of New York, Jerry Nadler, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, here's what he did to the Attorney General. He asked, actually the Attorney General volunteered to come testify. Jerry Nadler said, okay, come testify and I'm going to have my staffers question you. I'm not going to question you as a lawmaker, as an elected representative. I'm going to have my staff interns question you for this hearing. Which, in Washington, D.C., if you don't know, that is an insult. That is a slap in the face for a cabinet official to be questioned by 30-year-old staffers. Not that there's wrong with 30-year-old staffers, but you get the point. If you've been serving our country for 40 years, you're one of the top respected law enforcement officials in the country, you don't go over to Congress for 8 hours to be questioned by interns. No, you go there to be questioned by lawmakers. So Jerry Nadler out of New York, the chairman of this committee, he did this on purpose. Why did he do this? Because he wanted William Barr not to come. He wanted to insult the Attorney General so much that he doesn't come, and then guess what the Democrats do? William Barr is against transparency. He won't even come testify before the House. And you can hear the talking points going on right now. I mean, Jerry Nadler's already pulling these shenanigans and these talking points. Here's the quote he put out. The administration has the nerve to dictate our procedures. It's simply part of the administration's complete stonewalling of Congress, period. And so Jerry Nadler accusing the Trump administration of stonewalling, but really it's Jerry Nadler who provoked this entire controversy by not being willing to question Attorney General William Barr, which brings us to the point, you know, Democrat, Republican, these folks really don't do much of anything in Washington. If you think about it, your average person in the U.S. works a minimum of 40 hours a week. And actually, it's becoming more common to work 50 or 60 if you're in manufacturing or high or other high-demanding jobs. But let's just say 40 hours a week is the standard. These lawmakers work like 20 hours a week max. And you say, well, they're there all day. No, they're not. They're not there all day. Even yesterday in the U.S. Senate hearing, half of the seats were empty. Why? Because they were going to get coffee. They were going to lunch. If it's not their turn to ask questions, what do? They leave. And they fly in on Monday night. They leave on Thursday morning. That's a 3-day work week maximum. And then they get August recess where they get a month off. They get Christmas off. So my point is, there's no reason that the House Judiciary Committee cannot question the Attorney General themselves. There's no reason to have their interns and their staffers question the Attorney General. The actual lawmakers should be questioning the attorney general, and that's what our founders intended when it comes to oversight for the actual lawmakers and the elected representatives to have oversight over the executive branch. Let's jump into this William Barr hearing. I want to play clip three here, and this is Senator Josh Hawley out of, I believe he's out of Missouri, but I'll double check that. Senator Josh Hawley, actually a newly elected senator this past midterms, but he's talking about the origins of this entire investigation and why we're even talking about a so-called Russia investigation. Clip three, let's listen.
I cannot believe that a top official of this government with the kind of power that these people had would try to exercise their own prejudices, and that's what this is. It's open, blatant prejudice, would try to use that in order to overturn a democratic election. And to my mind, that's the real crisis here. And it is a crisis, because if there's not accountability, if this can go on in the United States of America, well, then my goodness gracious, we don't have a democracy anymore. So I appreciate your leadership, Mr. Attorney General. I look forward to hearing the results of your investigation, and I look forward to this committee continuing its constitutional responsibility to find out what is going on here and making sure that the will of the people is vindicated and established.
All right, well, there you have it. That's Senator Josh Hawley. And what he's talking about there is, how did this all begin? And we have to remember that, because if you don't look back and refresh, if we don't look back and refresh our memory about how this all began, why are we even here? Why did Bob Mueller get $25 million and 19 attorneys to go after President Trump? Why? Because top officials in the FBI under Obama, President Obama, they wanted to exact political revenge on behalf of the Clintons. This is what this is all about. Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, all the big wigs at the FBI, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, all of them were Hillary Clinton fans. If they weren't fans, they were sympathizers. And they put in place this insurance policy, that's in their own words, this insurance policy, to go after Donald Trump should he be elected in November of 2016. Guess what? He was elected. Their insurance policy kicked in, and they started a criminal probe against President Trump and his entire campaign. So this entire so-called controversy, investigation, $25 million, 19 attorneys, 500 subpoenas, all of this happened, all of this began with corrupt origins. With corrupt origins, Joe DiGenova, a former U.S. attorney, has said that this is an investigation into no crime. It's an investigation into no crime, which is unheard of when it comes to prosecutors. You will never hear a prosecutor investigating no crime, because collusion is not a crime. You will never hear a prosecutor going after something that is not a crime. Prosecutor's job is to go after crimes. So the origins of this investigation are corrupt. That's what we need to remember throughout this whole process. I want to play clip five here. This is Attorney General Barr on the whole purpose of the conclusion summary. And here, I'm going to set this up. Robert Mueller somehow leaked a letter yesterday, or 2 days ago, and we'll play the clip after the break. But Robert Mueller leaked a letter that he sent over to William Barr after William Barr released this four-page summary. Remember that? On a Sunday, he released this four-page conclusion summary about Robert Mueller's findings. Well, guess what? Bob Mueller complains about that. Well, it just doesn't capture the context. It just doesn't capture the substance. Blah, 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 blah. Well, guess why Bob Mueller's mad? Because William Barr didn't take political shots at President Trump in releasing this conclusion summary. That's why Bob Mueller's mad. And he thinks all of his political hack Clinton revenge work went to waste. We'll talk about more about this after the break. Sandy Rios in the morning. Glad you're with us.
When an abortion-minded woman walks into a preborn pregnancy center, she encounters love and compassion and gets to meet her baby by ultrasound.
And I was like, I'm going to go to the abortion clinic. and I already had my mind made up.
This mom didn't make it to the abortion clinic. Instead, God led her to a preborn center.
And the lady is giving me my ultrasound. She's like making these weird faces, and then she's like, it's two. And I'm like, I just start crying. I start texting my friends, and like, I can't.
The Ministry of Preborn was able to help this mom save not just one life, but two through ultrasounds. Preborn centers help save babies' lives and souls. Preborn runs and leads Christian pregnancy centers all over the country. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:21 this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The great preacher Henry Ward Beecher once said, "No man can tell whether he is rich or poor by turning to his ledger. It is the heart that makes a man rich. He is rich according to what he is, not according to what he has." It is what we feel in our hearts as to what God's will is for us. It is our hearts that will clearly help us to understand the stewardship of our possessions.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
This is a special edition of Pause to Pray in celebration of today's National Day of Prayer. Across our nation, Americans are joined together today in prayer for our nation's leaders.
Today, we pray for Donald J. Trump, our country's 45th and current president. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 reminds us to pray for our leaders. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to bless President Trump as he leads our country each day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Join us in prayer in our online prayer room for the National Day of Prayer. Go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A day to petition the Almighty. That story next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. Maybe a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit Truett.edu today.
Today is the National Day of Prayer, a moment for our nation to pause from partisan politics to honor a cherished tradition. According to the White House, our founding fathers asked the Almighty for divine help in forming the Republic. 75 years ago, President Roosevelt led the nation in prayer as the greatest generation stormed the beaches of Normandy on D-Day. We gather today in church houses and city halls to do as our forefathers once did. The black man and the white man, the rich man and the poor, soldiers and teachers, farmers and firefighters. On bended knee, we thank God for our freedom. We thank Him for our great blessings of life. And then we ask the one who endowed us with life and liberty to guide our path and protect us from the evil doers. That is our petition on this National Day of Prayer. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Walker Wildman here with you. We're going to jump back into this William Barr testimony. I'm going to try to stop talking so much, which I'm known for. And this is clip five here. This is about a 30-second clip of Attorney General William Barr explaining that the entire reason of releasing the four-page conclusion summary is not to provide the context of the 448-page Mueller report, but to outline the bottom line conclusions. Clip five, let's listen.
after a months long trial, if I wanted to go out and get out to the public what the verdict was, pending preparation of the full transcript, and I'm out there saying, here's the verdict, and the prosecutor comes up and taps me on the shoulder and says, well, the verdict doesn't really fully capture all my work. How about that great, you know, cross-examination I did, or how about that third day of trial where I did that? This doesn't capture everything. My answer to that is I'm not trying to capture everything. I'm just trying to state the verdict.
Well, there you have it. And that is the kind of answer that I'm looking for. There's no tiptoeing around it, you know, trying to please the Democrats, the left-wing Democrats. No, William Barr, the Attorney General, says, look, this four-page conclusion summary, there's no way that I can provide the full context and substance of the 500-page Mueller report in four pages. My point, he says, is to get the bottom line conclusions, and that is President Trump and his campaign did absolutely nothing wrong, nothing wrong, and the Democrats were complaining, oh, well, Bob Mueller wanted these 19 pages released, blah, 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 blah. Well, what did William Barr do? He released 448 pages, and in that are the so-called 19 pages that the Democrats wanted to begin with. So this is all a farce. It's all a hoax. It's all a big circus. It's all a big show. And it really, and Rob and I were talking about this during the break, this should really make everybody frustrated. Not just Republicans or Trump voters. This should make everybody frustrated. Why? Because Congress is doing nothing. Literally, Congress sits up in Washington. They hold these phony waste of time hearings, and that's what they are. This is all a waste of time. William Barr didn't say anything yesterday that we didn't already know. Now, is it okay to have hearings? Sure, I guess so. But it's a flat-out waste of time. Congress isn't doing anything. They haven't passed any significant legislation. The Obamacare is still in place. Premiums are too high. The illegal immigrants are coming across the border by the thousands, literally every day, thousands. And China has spies in our government, in our universities. I mean, we got all these problems that we could be fixing. And guess what we're doing? We're having hearings. Oh, we're going to have hearings. We're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to have a hearing. What happens? They go back and forth. They do a little arguing. Everybody goes home and nothing happens. That's why I think these hearings, to a certain extent, are a big fat waste of time.
Just smoke and mirrors.
That's right, Rob. Smoke and mirrors. And it should make everybody frustrated. Why? Because we elect lawmakers to go to Washington and actually do things, actually fix things. What do? They go there, waste our money, pass these horrible budgets that has billions of pork in it, and then they have these phony hearings and waste everybody's time, and then what do? They use our money to fly back home every weekend, go to these political fundraisers, go to these fancy dinners, talk to lobbyists, talk to big corporations, and guess who gets left behind? You and I. You and I get left behind, and the political class keeps doing what they're doing. The train keeps rolling down the tracks, and nothing changes. You know, I was watching a documentary called Saving Capitalism. And there's actually a book on this called Saving Capitalism. It's actually by a former Clinton labor secretary. So I don't endorse everything in the book, but the one of the main points was that we got this political class in Washington, and they're being bought off by big corporations. Even Republicans, this is no secret. Republicans are being bought off by big corporations and these super PACs giving thousands and actually millions of dollars to their campaigns, and we wonder why the people that we vote into office don't do anything for us. Why? Because they use our vote to get to Washington, and then they get bought off by the elites. That's what happens. And this book actually talks in length about that and how the economy to a certain extent doesn't work for the middle class. And so I found that very, very interesting and relevant. Moving on farther into this testimony, I want to play clip four here. You know, another good thing of the few good things that came out of the testimony yesterday is that Attorney General Barr confirmed that what? There are criminal investigations into leaks that happened before his watch. Clip four, let's listen.
What are you doing to investigate unauthorized media contacts by the department and FBI officials during the Russian investigation?
We have multiple criminal leak investigations underway.
Boom. Finally. Finally, where Jeff Sessions was missing in action, MIA, Attorney General Barr said we have multiple criminal investigations into leaks that happened before I got here. And those leaks, a lot of them happened during this so-called Russia investigation, during the Clinton investigation. And yes, the vast majority of the leaks, what? They went after President Trump. They tried to undermine President Trump. So William Barr, not hiding anything there, we're investigating leaks that happened before I got here. The last clip on Attorney General Barr that I want to play is clip two here. This is Attorney General Barr telling Democrats we need to quit using the DOJ for political purposes. Let's listen.
You, in effect, exonerated or cleared the president.
No, I didn't exonerate. I said that we did not believe that there was sufficient evidence to establish an obstruction offense, which is the job of the Justice Department. And the job of the Justice Department is now over. That determines whether or not there's a crime. The report is now in the hands of the American people. Everyone can decide for themselves. There's an election in 18 months. That's a very democratic process. But we're out of it. And we have to stop using the criminal justice process as a political weapon.
Boom! You know what that tells me? That tells me that the Attorney General believes that this whole Russia hoax was used for political purposes to go after Donald Trump. He didn't say that exactly, but that's the way I interpret that. He says, Attorney General William Barr there says at the end that we need to stop using the Department of Justice, the criminal justice process, for political purposes. I want to play that one more time, Rob. This is clip two. Let's listen.
You, in effect, exonerated or cleared the president?
No, I didn't exonerate. I said that we did not believe that there was sufficient evidence to establish an obstruction offense, which is the job of the Justice Department. And the job of the Justice Department is now over. That determines whether or not there's a crime. The report is now in the hands of the American people. Everyone can decide for themselves. There's an election in 18 months. That's a very democratic process. But we're out of it. And we have to stop using the criminal justice process as a political weapon.
Well, there you have it, Attorney General William Barr there. You know, I want to talk about this whole idea that President Trump obstructed justice. All right, that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes. And, you know, that's what you notice the Democrats aren't talking about collusion anymore because it didn't happen. But now they're going, oh, obstruction of justice, oh, obstruction of justice. We need to impeach. We need to impeach. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about the facts, because you're not going to hear this. If you listen to the testimony, you watch the media, you're not going to hear this. But did President Trump obstruct justice by firing James Comey? That's the core question. The simple answer to that is absolutely not. Why? Because James Comey was a subordinate to the President of the United States. What does that mean? He can fire him and hire him as he sees fit. For whatever reason, President Trump could bring James Comey in and say, I don't like your tie today, and you're fired. That's part of being the boss. President Trump fired James Comey, and he could do it for whatever reason. That was within his lawful authority. President Trump could actually have, he didn't do this, but he could have brought James Comey in and said, I don't like this Russia investigation, and I'm trying to shut it down. And so you're fired. And guess what? That's not obstruction of justice. Why? Because that's within the Article II authorities. And by the way, I think we need to read the Constitution. How about that for a change? How about the Democrats actually read Article II of the Constitution instead of talking about obstruction of justice without even knowing what they're talking about? And so Article 2 gives the president the authority to fire people in the executive branch. And that's why Jeff Sessions was fired, or resigned, however you want to call it. But so President Trump firing James Comey was 100%. There is absolutely no way whatsoever that firing James Comey for whatever reason could be obstruction of justice. Why? Because it's granted to the president in Article 2 authorities. And that's the bottom line here, not to mention the president from a, I want to talk legal. I'm not talking ethics or what looks good in the public eye. Legally, the president cannot obstruct justice, period. Legally, no matter what, he could go in and destroy evidence. I'm not saying that would be a good thing, but here's the thing. Number one, the president can't be indicted. Number two, the president has the pardon power. The president has the pardon power. How can the one who has the pardon power obstruct justice? Because guess what? He so-called obstructs justice by letting Sheriff Joe Arpaio out in Arizona be pardoned. Every president so-called obstructs justice by pardoning people. What are they doing? They're interfering in the justice system. But they're granted that authority in the Constitution. So this whole idea that President Trump obstructed justice by firing James Comey is an absolute hoax, and it is that argument is based on ignorance of the Constitution and Article 2 powers. And one interesting thing I've noticed, well, we're going to move on because I can talk on this for an hour. One story, before we take calls, we're going to take calls in the next segment, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Listen to this clip. This is totally separate than what we've been talking about. This is in Alabama, a state representative talking about why we don't need to have protections for unborn children. Alabama Democrat state representative talking about why we don't need protections for unborn children. Let's listen.
All I'm saying to you, it ought to be a woman's choice. I'm not about to be as a male tell a woman what to do with her body. She has the right to make that decision herself. To rape the incest. Some kids are unwanted. So you kill them now, I kill them later. You bring them in the world unwanted, unloved. Then you send them to the electric chair. So you kill them now, I kill them later. But the bottom line is that I think we should be making this decision.
All right, well, there you have it. Let me interpret that for you. I know the audio sometimes was unclear there. All right, so we're talking about the state of Alabama, their state legislature is debating legislation that would make killing of an unborn child across the board, no matter what age they are, a felony, which is a good thing. Well, this Democrat state representative by the name of John Rogers says, guess what he says about babies? We can kill them now or we can kill them later. That's a quote. Let's kill them now or let's kill them later. This is not in China, in Iran, Venezuela, Russia. No, this is in Alabama, in the United States of America. Democrats moved from we need abortion to be safe, legal, and rare, which cannot be possible. There's nothing safe about killing babies. Safe, legal, and rare. Remember the Clintons? Safe, legal, and rare? To now, let's kill them all. The Democrats are now proposing kill the babies now or we'll kill them later. I'll let that speak for itself. Sandy Rios in the morning, American Family Radio. We'll take your calls. 888-589-8840 is the phone number.
So Aaron took it as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague had already begun among the people.
And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stopped. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Often when the concept of intercession is raised, we normally think about prayer, and we should. Prayer is one form of intercession. Here we see another, living intercession. At the climax of a plague, Aaron runs into the fray, armed with incense, and where he stands, the plague stops. Aaron literally stands between the living and the dead. May God move us to be living intercessors for our day, and where we take our stand in Christ, the plague stops.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program. God's blessings to you all.
When we accept Christ as our Savior, He doesn't simply change our old habits. He radically transforms us so we can truly live. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress shares how we can experience the good life God intended for us. Join us for a powerful week of studies in Romans and Colossians. This week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The grossly misnamed Equality Act provides special legal protections on the basis of sexual orientation. But sexual orientation is not defined in the bill. This means quite simply that politicians and off-the-reservation judges will be able to write their own definitions. A scientific conference held in Germany last summer featured a lecture from a medical researcher who said the following, and I quote, "According to current research, pedophilia is an unchangeable sexual orientation, just like heterosexuality. No one chooses to be a pedophile. No one can cease being one," end quote. Because religious exemptions are specifically forbidden in the bill, pedophiles could not be prevented by Trail Life USA from becoming leaders of small boys. Churches could not prevent pedophiles from working with their youth groups. It's not the Equality Act at all. It's the Pedophile Protection Act.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The brutal persecution of over a quarter billion Christians around the world is the most horrific crime against humanity ever. But it has generally gone unreported and uncondemned. Worse yet, it is being enabled by prominent American law firms like Squires Patton Box. Among its clients are four governments that systematically persecute Christians and other religious minorities: Communist China, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the Palestinian Authority. Lobbying on those regimes' behalf in official Washington translates into protecting them from sanctions or other penalties for their misdeeds. That only encourages persecutors to believe they can oppress people of faith with impunity. Yesterday, we and 45 other advocates for the victims of such intolerance called on Squires Patton Boggs to drop these odious clients, as it recently did the criminal government of Sudan. One down, four to go. This is Frank Gaffney. Learn more at SaveThePersecutedChristians.org.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at Sandy@AFR.net. That's Sandy@AFR.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. And you know, that clip I played before the break, that was recent. I think that was yesterday. No joke, no hoax. That's what the Democrat in Alabama, this state representative by the name of John Rogers, said. And I haven't, I think if you live in Alabama, I'm going to give out this phone number. If you live in Alabama, you need to call and ask that John Rogers resign. John Rogers, we have a lot of stations in Alabama, actually, American Family Radio. John Rogers needs to resign right now. That's what I'm saying. I'm demanding that John Rogers, the state representative out of Alabama, he needs to resign immediately. He is unfit for office. Why? Because he's for killing babies. He's for killing babies. He's not even for any type of well, let's let him get to 20 weeks, 30 weeks, even though I don't buy into that argument. I think babies shouldn't be killed no matter how old they are. But State Representative John Rogers needs to step aside immediately. He is unfit for office. He is unfit for office. Why? Because he is proposing illegal activity. He is proposing the murder of unborn children no matter what. And so if you live in Alabama, you can go to the Alabama legislature's website. You can search up this state representative's name, John Rogers. John Rogers Jr., state representative out of Alabama. You need to call his office, tell him to resign immediately, and the folks in his district need to demand that he resign, and they don't need to let up until he does, because this behavior is absolutely, absolutely unacceptable, Rob.
Can we play that clip again?
Let's play it one more time.
All I'm saying to you, it ought to be a woman's choice. I'm not about to be as a male tell a woman what to do with her body. She has the right to make that decision herself. To rape the incest. Some kids are unwanted. So you kill them now, I kill them later. You bring them in the world unwanted, unloved. Then you send them to the electric chair. So you kill them now, I kill them later. But the bottom line is that I think we should be making this decision.
Well, there you have it, Rob.
Yeah, you know, he said these kids are unwanted.
Yes.
Adoption. There's hundreds, thousands of families that would adopt these babies in a heartbeat.
Yes. And you know, this here's the bottom line, is that it's not up to us to determine which baby is worthy of being born or not. It's up to none of us to determine whether, unilaterally, whether a baby is worthy of being born or not. That's not up to us. We don't get to just determine that so-and-so down the street, that he should just die. We should just kill him because we don't need him. He's unwanted and unloved. No, we don't allow that. We should not be picking and choosing who gets to live, who gets to enjoy life or not. And I'll just say this. The state representative went on talking about how some kids are born retarded and half deformed. Do you know how many stories I've heard of doctors who've said, your child is going to be disabled, your child will never be able to walk, your child will never be able to talk, your child will have all these disabilities, your child will have deformities, on and on and on. I've heard dozens of those stories, and guess what happens? The child is born perfectly normal, perfectly healthy, perfectly fine. But I'll go farther and say, even if a child has difficulties, has deformities, we still don't get to kill the child. We still don't get to say, well, then that life is unworthy of living. That child is unworthy of enjoying life. We don't get to judge that. That is in God's hands on how long, how much of a life he wants to give these children. And that's not up to us to do. So this is absolutely disturbing, absolutely disgusting. One more time before I go to the phones. If you live in Alabama, look up this representative, John Rogers Jr., state representative out of Alabama. Call his office. He needs to resign. Call his office. Demand that he resign right now. And this shows the hypocrisy of the left, and that is, you know, they want President Trump to resign. They want President Trump to be impeached because he tweets things that aren't very nice, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? We got Democrats in Alabama talking about killing babies nonchalantly. Kill them now or kill them later. That's a quote from the Democrat in Alabama. We're going to go to the phone, and we're actually going to go to a caller in Alabama. Ann, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Walker Wildman.
Glad to have you on, Ann. What's on your mind?
I totally agree with what you just said, because we're going to vote for not killing baby Americans and destroying mothers' lives. But I called in specifically because in 2 years, I've not heard one single word about Putin standing on the steps of the Kremlin. I saw it for my own eyes. I heard him with my own ears on public broadcasting 1.5 years ago. What did he say? Democracy does not work. He served for 20 years. He wants to stay in office. He doesn't care what it takes. Yeah. He not only hacked our election, but he's hacked multiple elections in Europe. It's strictly he wants to be the emperor of Russia the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And I wish America would wake up and realize Trump, as we agree, you and I and the rest of AFR, Trump had nothing to do with any kind of collusion. He didn't need to.
Right.
We didn't want Hillary Clinton as our president. That's simple.
Yep, that's exactly right, Ann. I appreciate you calling in to Sandy Rios in the morning. And, you know, one other interesting note about Ann's point there is that actually Vladimir Putin and President Obama were buddies. And Hillary Clinton, they were all buds. Remember, President Obama meets with the Russian representative and says, tell Putin after my election that I'll have more flexibility. And then Hillary Clinton goes over there with that fake plastic red reset button, and she tries to reset relations with Russia, and then Hillary Clinton ends up giving Russia 25% of America's uranium. What does uranium do? It builds nuclear bombs so that Russia can bomb the U.S. That's Hillary Clinton. So that's what needs to be looked into. That's what needs to be investigated. We'll go to Texas and talk to Clara in Texas. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the morning.
Thank you. Good morning, sir. I'm so glad that you're talking about abortion, because that is an issue very primary, number one in line in my book. Women have rights, but one right they do not have is to kill an unborn child. If that child is in her womb, she invited that child to be in her womb. And for her to say that she wants to kill it, you know, there are countries that don't have much food and everything, that women don't go aborting babies the way we do. It's all convenience. And any woman that does not repent for an abortion is going to have a rude awakening when they meet with God. Because, yes, we all make mistakes. And, yes, this world is messed up. But it is not just like Hamilton says, don't throw away the baby.
Yeah,
he could be the reason why you can have a new start of love, and you, if you can't give it to somebody that will. But our laws for adoptions are ridiculous. We need to make it easier for people to adopt, because right now the adoption laws make mothers go for abortions because it's easier to have an abortion than it is to adopt a baby.
Amen.
And that is wrong.
Amen.
That is wrong. A woman has the right to have an operation so that she can never have babies. She has the right to use some kind of instrument to prevent pregnancy. She has many rights. But when the baby is already been invited in her womb, she doesn't have the right to kill it. And women have to know that anybody that's doing that, has done that, and has not repented, you're in deep, deep, deep trouble. And we got to stop sugarcoating this.
Yeah.
This is selfishness. There are very few women that are having abortions because they can't feed their baby. Here in this country.
Amen. Thank you, Clara, for calling in. Clara from Texas there. And, you know, Clara makes some very good points. That was powerful, Rob.
Bravo.
You know, and Clara's spot on here. And this is going to come as a shock to unbelievers. But if you've sinned, which we all have, and you're unrepentant and you're unregenerate, then we're going to hell. That's what the Bible says. That's not what Walker says. Anyone who does not repent of their sins, whether it be abortion, whether it be adultery, whether it be fornication, whether it be homosexuality, whatever it is, we have to repent. We have to come before God and repent of our sins. Otherwise, then we're going to hell. That's what the Bible says. And you're not going to hear that. That's not the cool, hip message that you're going to hear on Sunday morning. But that's the reality. And that's the whole reason that we do what we do here at American Family Radio. Why? Is to prevent people from going to eternal damnation. That's the goal here, is to save as many people as we can with the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we love God's creation. We love fellow mankind, and we want to see them all come to repentance and to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. And the issues that we talk about, whether it be killing babies, whether it be marriage, all of this is aimed at drawing people to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which will in turn save their souls. Keith in Michigan. Keith, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. One thing I wanted to point out about the child that's in the womb, or anybody in fact, if a person is disabled, and I agree with you, we don't have the right to say, hey, we're going to kill you because you're not useful. God looks at everybody as useful. Hmm. I mean, take for an example, the man who was crippled from life was used to, for God's glory. Two friends brought him down through a roof to Jesus, and Jesus said, you were born for this purpose.
Wow.
For God's glory.
Hmm. That's powerful, Keith. Amen. Thank you for calling in, Keith. Keith there from Michigan talking about how even crippled, a crippled man in Scripture there in the Gospels was used for God's glory. And unborn children, they have the same constitutional rights that you and I do. Once they're conceived, they have constitutional protections. No person should be able to take their life for any reason whatsoever. Larry in Indiana. Larry, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hi, Walker. Thanks for taking my call. And amen to what Keith just said, and amen to what you said before about that we all need to repent. And but I wanted to talk about the fact that a lot of folks on the left side of the political spectrum, they're against death penalty, even if the people have done horrendous things. And they say it's because, well, maybe 1 in 1,000 folks could be innocent. And it, even if there's just one chance, then we can't let that person be put to death unjustly.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they're saying, well, yeah, we're willing to kill thousands and millions of children because we think a lot of them are going to be damaged in some way. And it brings to mind the young man who has no arms. I think he's got a part of a foot, maybe. And he goes around the world. And he gives hope to people.
Mm.
And then you folks just had a story about a young girl in school who was born with no hands and who has such a spirit from God of that I can do everything that I choose to, and I'm not going to be held back. And I think there's a whole lot of folks, there, so many developmentally disabled people bring such joy to so many lives.
Amen. That's exactly right.
I wanted to say that.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. Appreciate that. Larry from Indiana. Anthony from Tennessee and Debbie from Alabama. Sorry I wasn't able to get to you. Debbie, hey, Debbie, you're from Alabama. Call John Rogers' office. Tell him to resign. Call John Rogers' office. Tell him he needs to resign immediately. Why? Because he's for killing babies unrelentlessly inside the womb. He needs to resign immediately, and we'll keep you updated on that. Sandy Rios in the Morning. Walker Wildman here sitting in for Sandy. Glad to be with you this Thursday. I'll be back next week on Tuesday sitting in for Sandy. And until then, stay tuned to American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.